Hi, this is Farah Yildiz. Today I'm in Aztec Town in New Mexico. And my guest is Roy Forbes. Hi, Roy. How are you?
Hi, Farah. We're doing good. Enjoying the nice weather out here.
Roy Forbes is the producer and director of a very interesting documentary movie, Fallen Angels. And I want to listen everything from him about this production, about this movie.
Yeah, Fallen Angels was an idea, a project that we had started about 3 years ago. And after attending the Aztec Symposium 4 years ago and learning more about the Aztec UFO crash, it really caught my interest, especially with a lot of the new information that's been coming out on the radar facilities here in New Mexico, the secret radar facilities from the 1940s. That could have played a role in the crash at Aztec, as well as Roswell.
So, when did you start to make your investigation about the UFO crashes?
After the symposium here in Aztec 4 years ago, we started to look deeper into the Roswell crash, the Aztec crash, and also the one out in Kingman, Arizona. And possibly these radar facilities would have played a role in the in possibly affecting the guidance systems or propulsion of the craft that had come down in 1947, 48, and 53 in Kingman.
Do you think that UFO crashes, several UFO crashes that we have been hearing about, are one of the most important physical evidences of extraterrestrial visits?
Yes, I do. I'm sure that the craft that has been recovered certainly is proof. Whether we're going to see it or not, that's a different story. And with the discovery of these radar facilities, we now have a possible cause that could have brought these ships down, whether it was intentional or not.
So do you think that probably it was intentional? They wanted to crush them with purpose?
I think possibly. I mean, I can't speak for the government programs, but I think it's possible in the beginning it might have been an accident. They might have had these facilities up and running. Possibly a craft flew through these microwave beams and crashed. That possibly could have been the cause of Roswell. Subsequent to that, once they realized that this is what's possible, I think it's very likely that they did start to use microwave radar systems to bring the ships down, not to be fired on like a missile, but to momentarily interrupt guidance or propulsion systems.
As far as your investigations, do you have any idea when was the last UFO crash it was reported?
There's constant reports all around the world, right up until several years ago. We've focused pretty much on the earlier ones, and the number of crashes per year has really gone down, but there still continues to be reports of UFOs found.
Because in your movie, in Fallen Angels, you were interviewing some very famous names from UFO investigations. One of them was Linda Moulton Howe, and the other one was Stanton Friedman. And they had very interesting claims about the UFO crashes. For instance, Linda Moulton Howe says that after 1956 or 58, there isn't any UFO crashes.
What she said was that the crashes appear to have at least slowed down. And the thought there was that possibly there was a military directive, a military order that was given to bring these ships down. Mm-hmm. And the theory there now seems to be coming out more and more that there was a retaliation as well, and possibly they were firing on our aircraft. There seems to be more research out there that Stanton Friedman is doing as well, showing that we had lost a lot of military aircraft. If that being the case, possibly then the military said, you know what, it's time that we stop this, and we stop firing on them, they stop firing on us, if that is the case.
When did you finish your movie exactly?
The film was finished November of 2006. after a little over 2.5 years of production.
So when was it was released?
The very first showing was at the Laughlin, Nevada UFO International Congress, and we entered in the film festival, and it won the EBE Award for Best Historical UFO Documentary.
So this is a very important step in UFO documentaries. But what will be your future projects? Are you going to release this movie in some other movie festivals, or are you going to send it to international festivals?
I think that we will probably target a few other film festivals around the country. The next project, we kind of thought this was going to be a pilot for a series of films on UFO crash retrievals. Mm-hmm. And the premise that I've tried to do in this film, that's a little bit different than other films I've seen, is that we want to bring the viewer along with us on the trip. It's not sitting in a classroom listening to a documentary. Mm-hmm. The person who's watching it is actually traveling with the film crew to these locations. Also, being in the American Southwest, the scenery out here is absolutely beautiful. So you have the ability to enjoy the scenery as well.
I watched your movie today, and I'm very impressed. Of course, I'm sure the rest of the viewers were very impressed about it, but we saw a flying object. You caught a flying object. What was that?
During the filming of Fallen Angels, we were up at Nellis Air Force Base bombing range, and we were videotaping a live bombing demonstration that was being done. In my vehicle, we have the ability to monitor this operation, and we heard the controllers clear the airspace over the target area for a C-130 Spectre gunship to come in. And we were videotaping the gunship as it was orbiting over the target. Didn't realize till we got back to the studio and put the tape in that a very bright white, round disc object travels from the bottom of the screen to the top of the screen in 1 second. The gunship is flying along maybe 250 miles an hour. This object appears behind the gunship. It's traveling at a tremendous rate of speed. The interesting thing is where we were filming this operation was 50 miles due south of Groom Lake. Certainly wasn't an aircraft for two reasons. One, at that speed that appears on the film, and we heard the airspace being cleared for the gunship to come in.
So how many miles did you travel since you started to shoot your documentary? And how many different states you have visited?
Thousands of miles, traveling all through Arizona, up into Nevada, New Mexico, and down to the lower sections of Colorado. Pretty much the Four Corners region.
And I'm sure there are many, many UFO crash cases, but we don't hear all of them. For instance, the Kingman case. Most of the people weren't familiar about it. It wasn't a very, very popular one. How did you start to feel interested in Kingman case?
The Kingman case was an interesting one that took place in 1953. There was some real good documentation on that case, and there was a diary from a gentleman who had participated in going to the crash site. It was one of those that was kind of mulling around for many, many years.
So are there any crash cases that you are planning to shoot soon?
Yeah, like I had said earlier, this is a pilot for a series of films that are going to look at UFO crash retrievals.
Did you have your own UFO sightings, observations, before you started to shoot your movie?
I can't say that I looked up at the sky and saw a flying saucer. I do a lot of photography, and I do a lot of lightning photography. And several years ago, I was filming in the area around Kingman at sunset, and the camera took many photographs of lightning, and we had got one print back which shows a clearly round silver disc-shaped object approximately 900 feet above the ground, and I'm estimating maybe 5 or 6 miles from my spot. This did not appear in the photograph prior or the photograph after, and the object was in the emulsion layer of the film. This wasn't digital. It was regular 35 millimeter. We were shooting about 3 to 4 frames a second, so I didn't see it. Whatever it was, the camera did catch it.
Today was the last day of Aztec UFO Symposium, and after the conference was over, we had the opportunity to go and visit the Aztec UFO crash site. It was a big surprise for me to be able to go there with you and with your friends. So thank you very much for that nice and very surprising invitation. So it was my first time in the UFO crash site, but you know the road very well in the middle of the desert. And I know you have been there a couple of times. So what happened there in your previous visits?
Well, the actual crash site is about 10, 12 miles northeast of the city of Aztec, New Mexico. It's out in a location called Hart Canyon. Hart Canyon and the road that it's on used to be an old stagecoach trail that runs from Durango, Colorado, down to Farmington, New Mexico. And there's a loop up there called Arkansas Loop. And as you come around this loop, there's a large mesa to your left, and that's where the craft allegedly had come down. Now, they refer to it as a crash. This craft was not crumpled up or damaged like the Roswell ship. This craft appeared, as we're told, pretty much intact. There was a small cracked window, and the bodies inside were pretty burned up and charred. But it appeared as though that it had a hard landing, or pretty much landed there in a hurry. But it's at this curve called Arkansas Loop.
So why do you think that the bodies were burned, but there was very little damage with the craft?
I'm not a scientist, but if we go back to the microwave theory, it seems very possible that if this craft flew through the microwave beams, that if all three of these stations were operating at Alvado, Continental Divide, Moriarty, the witnesses say the ship came up from the south over Cuba. This craft would have flown through those beams. It would kind of make sense that that's what would have done the damage to the extraterrestrial bodies that were inside and not had physically damaged the ship.
So how big was the ship? Do you have any idea?
The stories that I've been told is it was between 99 and 100 feet. Perfect lenticular shape, almost like a lens-shaped craft, and approximately 18 feet high.
So the area is very difficult to reach. I mean, you have a huge Hummer truck, but even though it was very difficult, we were jumping in your car, in your Hummer, and in some parts it wasn't easy. So how do you think that military forces got there, and how did you pick it up, the huge aircraft?
I think that obviously they were aware that the ship came down if they were operating their radar systems, and if the radar systems were transmitting back the location of the craft, and if these radar systems were the culprit in possibly bringing the ship down. I'm sure the military knew exactly where the ship was, and that's probably a good reason why they got there as quickly as they did. It is a remote area. I'm sure it was a whole heck of a lot more difficult to get back there in 1948 than it was for us today. But their ability to do that is that's what they do. As far as getting the ship out and retrieving the craft, I honestly don't have an idea how they would have done that with such a large craft.
So I don't want to give away more information about your movie because I want many people to get it and to watch it. So do you have a website? How can we reach you, and how can the UFO lovers can get your movie?
If anyone does want information on the film Fallen Angels, you can email me at magic, M-A-J-I-C, at frontiernet.net, and just send me an email, and I'll respond with the information.
Thank you very much for this interview. And I'm wishing you all the good luck with this production and with your future productions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Major sighting here.
On the 13th of March, weird happenings in the skies over Phoenix recently. And no one seems to be able to explain what it was.
And now, suddenly six amber orbs in a row, totally equidistant from each other, massive span across, pop up.
People say they saw strange lights.
A series of strange bright lights seen over the skies of Arizona. I guess a lot of people wondering.
There are another 10,000 Arizonans who saw the same thing.
Eyewitnesses who saw it say it's like nothing they've ever seen before.
Last night, shortly after 8 p.m., hundreds, maybe thousands of Arizonans reported seeing a triangular-shaped object with three to
thousands of people saw more than stars in the night sky.
The mystery remains unsolved and controversial.
There was nothing there.
The award-winning documentary by Dr. Lynn Kitar, The Phoenix Lights, is now available from shockcheerypippin.com. Order now. Supplies limited.